God may not share his plan with you, but it doesn't mean he doesn't have a plan. Oh, he's got one. He has a plan and purpose for your life. He loves you. He's a good God, and he'll take care of you if you will just wait on him. He is in charge, and you're not. Number two, you trust him. Psalm 50, verse 14. I want you to trust me in your time of trouble so I can rescue you and you can give me glory. God is asking you, will you trust me?
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Today we continue in our series called, Can You Hear Me Now? In these lessons, we'll learn how to truly discern the Lord's voice in the midst of a world full of distractions. In just a few minutes, we're going to tell you about a powerful tool that will help you get answers to life's most difficult questions. You can take a sneak peek right now by going to PastorRick.com while you listen to today's message. If you want, you can just text the word DAILY to 99000. That's the word DAILY to 99000. Right now, here's Pastor Rick Warren with the final part of a message called How God Talks to You.
Now, I want to tell you, this thing about impressions from God, you don't just get impressions from God, you get impressions from all different kinds of things, so you have to be very careful. There are two extremes to avoid. There's the rationalist who says, none of the ideas I get it from God. I don't even believe God can talk to me. And there's the mystic who says, every idea I get is from God. Well, both of them are wrong. I pity the rationalist because if you don't hear from God, you don't have much comfort in a time of trial or stress or tragedy. I have been at the funerals of people who don't believe in God. I have been at the graveside of people who don't know God, and it's pretty bleak because they have no hope. They have no comfort. They don't have God speaking directly to their heart, and I am sad for those people because they don't have anything to hold on to when the pressure's on. On the other hand, if you think every single idea you get is from God, God told me this, God told me that, God told me this, you become a mystic, you're going to make a lot of stupid, foolish mistakes, you're going to embarrass yourself, people are going to just think you're loony. What I'm saying is there is a balance between those two extremes, and we're going to talk about that balance in the next couple weeks. What I am saying this, don't let fanatics keep you from experiencing the real thing. Don't be so afraid of going overboard that you don't open your mind to let God speak to your heart and to your mind. Job 33 says this, God speaks again and again in dreams, in visions of the night, as they lie on their beds. He opens their ears in times like that and gives them wisdom and instruction, causing them to change their minds and keeping them from pride and from falling into some trap. God wants to keep you out of a lot of problems. Now, why does God speak to us as we're laying on our bed? Well, a couple reasons. Number one, when you're relaxed, you can hear better. You're less defensive. You're less distracted. You're more open to what God wants to say to you. And so when you're relaxed, that's the most likely time God's going to talk to you. If you've got the cell phone ringing and the radio on and the television blaring and the BlackBerry and the internet and all these things coming up in your mind, you can't hear God. You got too much noise. And so that's why often when you're just relaxing, you're sitting in your easy chair, you're laying on your bed, God, have you ever had a thought in the shower? Why? You're not doing much in the shower. Okay, it's a relaxing time. And so God can then talk to you. Now, one of the best ways to do this is ask God a specific question before you go to sleep. You can do this. Ask God a specific question. I do it all the time. I'll say, you know, God, I know you're going to have me talk to this person tomorrow morning. So what do you want to say to them? And I'll ask that question and I'll go to sleep. I couldn't count the number of times that I've awakened in the morning and God, and the answer is there the first thing when I get up. Why? I'm relaxed and he can speak to my heart. I couldn't tell you the number of times that I've gone to sleep saying, God, what do you want to say to the people on the weekend? And I didn't know. And I go to sleep and I wake up the next morning and the idea is there. It's there. And so just let God speak to you. Now, let me just warn you, most of your dreams, they're wacko. Okay, they have no spiritual significance at all. if you know anything about REM sleep, you know it's just your brain reorganizing all the information, and this goes here, and this goes here, and this goes here, and it's very easy for your brain to take in a scene from a movie, and a scene from a book, and a scene from something here and there, and you heard it, and you don't even know it when, and put it all together. Anybody want to give a testimony of a goofy dream right now? Yeah. So we've all had wacko, you know, dreams. Definitely unreliable. That's why you have to test and confirm impressions.
That's Pastor Rick Warren with just a portion of today's study called How God Talks to You from our series called Can You Hear Me Now? The second half of today's study is coming up next.
How can you cope with stress, rebound from failure, defeat depression, have peace of mind? In his book, God's Answers to Life's Difficult Questions, Rick Warren takes you to the Bible for answers to 12 of life's toughest challenges, drawing from the examples of different biblical characters that faced the same issues. Rick offers concise, practical, eye-opening insights that you can understand and apply right away. You can move past hardships and experience a life of purpose and significance. Pastor Rick writes, "In each of these studies, you will discover simple ways to apply God's truth to your personal life, your family, and your job. Let Rick lead you through the scriptures to see what they reveal about 12 of the most pressing questions people ask. Let us send you a copy of the book, God's Answers to Life's Difficult Questions, today, as our way of saying thanks for your financial support of this ministry. Go to PastorRick.com right now to get your copy of this great resource. That's PastorRick.com. Or you can call 800-600-5004. That's 800-600-5004. Thanks in advance for your support. There are only 2 days left to get yours, so don't wait.
Here's Pastor Rick Warren.
You know, I just want to take a quick second to say thank you. Thank you for listening, for sharing this broadcast, and for your faithful prayers, especially your financial support. God is using you in a mighty way to get the message of hope out to a world that's desperately in need of Jesus Christ. Thank you.
When you give to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope broadcast, you're supporting the program that received the Billy Graham Award for Excellence in Christian Communications. This prestigious award was presented to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope by the National Religious Broadcasters, which is the association for all Christian communicators, including film, radio, television, and digital media all around the world. So we are humbled and honored that our peers in broadcast ministry have selected Daily Hope for this award. We're also honored to be associated with the great legacy of Billy Graham. Most of all, we thank you so much for making it possible. Without you, this broadcast would have never happened.
Now, let's get back to more great teaching with Pastor Rick Warren.
So, we've all had wacko, you know, dreams. Definitely unreliable. That's why you have to test and confirm impressions. But on the other hand, don't be afraid of this. Many of the major decisions in my life, God gave me an impression, and then I confirmed it. I just didn't act on the impression. I confirmed it, and then I acted on it. One day many years ago, I was a young man, it's about 30 years ago, I was in a church, a little church in Fresno, California. I was sitting on the stage, minding my own business. I looked over here, and there was a cute little girl playing the piano over here, and I looked over there, and an impression popped into my mind from God. God said, "You're going to marry Kay Lewis." Now, I immediately doubted that impression for three very good reasons. Number one, God had never, ever spoken to me that clearly in my life. I mean, just never in my life had he ever been that clear. Okay, so I immediately doubted it. Number two, I wasn't in love with her. I had no feelings for her, and she certainly wasn't in love with me. And, you know, so I mean, I knew who she was, but I wasn't in love. Number three, she was madly in love with my best friend. Would that give you pause to question the impression? Well, I did. And so I said nothing about it. In fact, I never even told Kay about it until after we were married, because I'd never use an impression to manipulate anybody. You just don't do that. So I just filed it away, and I made no attempt to break up their relationship. I just filed it away. That was in the summertime. A few months later, we went to college, and we actually happened to that year go to the same college. We did not go to the same college all of our college career, but that year we were in the same college. And one morning, I was out praying early in the morning with my prayer partner, Danny Daniels, who used to be on staff here. And it was about 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock in the morning, and we were out at a baseball dugout out on the field, and we were praying, and all of a sudden, Danny stops in the middle of his prayer, and he says, "Now, Rick, you may think this is kind of weird, but," he said, "I have this impression that you're going to marry Kay Lewis." I said, "Oh, don't worry about that. God told me 4 months ago." And again, I made no attempt to date her or anything. I just filed it away. A little while after that, my best friend broke up with Kay, started dating another girl, actually got engaged to that girl, and later married that girl. Enter the hero. Knight in shining armor. Dun, da, da, da. But I still didn't have these feelings for her. I just didn't have the feelings. Well, you know, one day I'm walking down the corridor at college, and I see her coming the other day, and the feelings hit. It's like Cupid pulled out a little arrow and goes, bling! Man, the scales fell off my eyes. I was instantly in love. I was like a tick on a dog after that. Man, there was no way she was getting rid of me after that, man. I took her out on our first date, and 8 days later, we were engaged. I don't tell that story to my kids. For obvious reasons. It violates every principle I believe in. And you know what? Right after that, after we got engaged, I moved to Nagasaki, Japan as a missionary, and she moved to inner city Birmingham, Alabama as a missionary, and we spent our entire engagement apart from each other. So when we got married, we really didn't know each other. We were in love. We felt God put us together. We didn't know each other. Said, "What planet are you from?" And I, you know, Kay and I, we've now been married 28 years. We wondered for a long time, why would God use such a strange thing to get us together? But finally we realized it's because of our differences. We would have never gotten together any other way. Kay and I are the exact opposite in every cell of our DNA. I mean, I say hi, she says hello, she says why, I say I don't know, I say hello, she says goodbye. They wrote that song about us. I mean, we are totally opposite. And if we had had the normal dating relationship, we would have argued so much we would have never gotten together. Never. Instead, we got married, and then we argued for years. But we had made this commitment. Divorce is not an option for us. We locked the key and threw it away and locked the hatch. And so we had to work it out. There would be no way. I mean, any eHarmony survey would have proven that these two people are not going to make it. They are so opposite of each other, and the sparks are going to fly. And boy, they did in the early years. But God knew the two people that he needed with the right talent and abilities and passions to form Saddleback. And that's the way he got us together. You know, I'm glad I listened to the Holy Spirit's impression, because today she's my best friend. She's my lover, my girlfriend, my wife, my confidant, my counselor, the person who has more ability than anybody else to say, "Rick, you're blowing it," and on and on. But you confirm those kind of things. Here's the warning. You always have to test and confirm impressions. And we're going to talk about how to do that in a couple weeks. Does the impression agree with the Bible? Does it agree with godly friends? Does it agree with the church? And on and on and on. Because God will never contradict what he said in his word. But he does speak through impressions.
There's a fifth way that God speaks. I don't like this one, but I know it's true. Number five, God speaks through pain. God speaks through pain. Any of you familiar with this one know what I'm talking about? God loves us so much, he will resort even to pain to speak to us. This sometimes pain is the only way that God can get your attention in a circumstance. Now, I'm not saying that all the pain in our lives is God trying to speak to us. Does everybody understand that? That is not what I'm saying. But I do know that some of the painful circumstances I face, God speaks to me through those circumstances. I think we've all seen that happen in our lives. God uses pain when He can't get us to slow down and listen. And just standing here for a few moments thinking about how God has used pain in my life to speak to me, I'm just flooded with thoughts. I can think of a time when God used a financial pain to get me to move from here to there. I would have stayed here except for the financial pain got me where He wanted me to be. I can think of a time when He used a relationship pain to get me to wake up to the fact that people are a lot more important than tasks. I can think of a time when God used a physical pain, a health pain, to say, no, I don't want you on that project. I want you working on that project. I would have never thought that except God used that pain to get my attention, to get me to hear that. So verse about this in the Bible, over in the book of Proverbs chapter 20, verse 30. This is a painful verse. I don't want to be in this alone. Would you read this verse with me? Let's read it together. Sometimes it takes a painful experience to make us change our ways. We know that's true. We've all seen the truth of that verse in our lives. We change when we get desperate. It's when we hit the bottom often that we look up. Some of you right now, you hit the bottom this week. And God has brought you here this morning to say to you, look up. Look up. Through that painful circumstance that you're faced this week, God wants to let you know that He loves you more than you could imagine. The Bible says over in Psalm 119, verse 71, the suffering you sent was good for me, for it taught me to pay attention to your principles. Pain is often like a spiritual hearing aid in our lives. C.S. Lewis once said, God whispers to us in our pleasures, but He shouts to us in our pain. And God may be shouting to you right now. It might be His big, hello. The pain is saying, watch out. You keep going that direction. Your life is going to get destroyed. Or the pain might be saying, I love you. I have a different plan for your life. God speaks to us through our pain.
Okay, God speaks through the Bible. God speaks through gifted teachers. God speaks through godly friends and family. God speaks through impressions. He speaks through pain. And number six, God speaks through silence. Through silence. Sometimes God speaks by saying nothing. Sometimes God speaks by remaining quiet. Now, this is extremely frustrating to us, but God has His reasons when He's quiet and silent. And you'd better just wait and trust Him. If you run ahead of God, if you go ahead and say, well, I haven't heard anything from God, so I'm just going to go ahead and do this. And if you don't trust God, you'll get yourself into a lot of trouble. When you run ahead of God, you're going to regret it. You're going to have all kinds of problems. There's so many examples of this in the Bible. One of them was the guy named Saul, King Saul. And he was the first king of Israel, and he was getting ready to go to battle, but he hadn't really been right with God. And so then he comes to God and says, God, what do you want me to do in this battle? When he hadn't even been talking to God in a long time. Been doing the wrong things. And the Bible says God was silent. He wasn't ready to say. And notice what it says in 1 Samuel 26. Saul prayed to God, but God didn't answer, neither by dream, nor by sign, nor by prophet. In other words, there are three different ways that Saul tried to find out an answer, and he didn't get it. And so you know what happened? He got impatient. And when you do that, you're always headed for trouble. He got desperate, and he turned to the occult, something he had outlawed in the country. He said, go find me a spiritual advisor. Go find me a medium, a psychic, a witch. Go find me somebody who can talk to the dead. Go find me some person who can conjure up spirits or do a seance. He knew it was wrong, and he did it anyway because he got desperate. And do you know what happened? He lost everything. He lost the battle. He lost his reputation. He lost his life. This is not innocent stuff. I remember years ago in this very church, a young woman who was frantic about trying to figure out the name of who she was supposed to marry. And she prayed, and God didn't write the guy's name on a card. He rarely does, because there might be a half a dozen people that are all okay for you to marry in God's will. There is no one single right person. And she got very desperate. So she got involved in occult, in tarot cards, in horoscopes and astrology. And it really messed her up. But listen, if you are looking to anything else besides God for guidance, you are on thin ice. If you are looking to anything else in your life to guide you about the future, except God, you have an idol and it is wrong. And you should run from it as fast as you can. This is not innocent stuff. Now let me tell you why. First place, it's a total waste of money. Nobody knows the future. Nobody. Anybody who tells you they know the future is flat out lying, because only God knows the future. Nobody knows the future. And the future is not in the stars, it's in the Son of God. And it's all a lie. And if you do it, it's a sin and you will be judged for it, and it is of the devil and you could lose your soul. You run from it as fast as you can. So what do you do when God is silent? What do? You do two things, and we have these two verses. First, Job 34. If God is silent, what is that to you? Since he turns his face away, what can you do about it? But whether silent or hidden, he's there ruling. Here's the first thing you do. Remember, God is in control. He's there ruling. God may not share his plan with you, but it doesn't mean he doesn't have a plan. Oh, he's got one. He has a plan and purpose for your life. He loves you. He's a good God, and he'll take care of you if you will just wait on him. He is in charge, and you're not. Number two, you trust him. Psalm 50, verse 14. I want you to trust me in your time of trouble so I can rescue you and you can give me glory. God is asking you, will you trust me? Will you trust me with that financial problem? Will you trust me with that dream? Will you trust me with that ache in your heart? Will you trust me with that stress? Will you trust me with that loneliness? Will you trust me with that desire to get married? Will you trust me with that health issue? Will you trust me with your dreams and ambitions? Will you trust me? That's the big issue of life. Will you trust God?
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Now, if you've missed any part of this broadcast, including portions we didn't have time for today, simply go to PastorRick.com to listen again and to find out more about this ministry, or to sign up for Rick's free daily email devotional. Rick's going to be back in just a moment with a final word of encouragement, so please stay with us. How can you cope with stress, rebound from failure, defeat depression, have peace of mind? Well, in his book, God's Answers to Life's Difficult Questions, Rick Warren takes you to the Bible for answers to 12 of life's toughest challenges, drawing from the examples of different biblical characters that face the same issues. Rick offers concise, practical, eye-opening insights that you can understand and apply right away, so you can move past hardships and experience a life of purpose and significance. Pastor Rick writes, in each of these studies, you'll discover simple ways to apply God's truth to your personal life, your family, and your job. Let Rick lead you through the scriptures to see what they reveal about 12 of the most pressing questions people ask. Let us send you a copy of the book, God's Answers to Life's Difficult Questions, today as our way of saying thanks for your financial support of this ministry. Go to PastorRick.com right now to get your copy of this great resource. That's PastorRick.com, or just call 800-600-5004. That's 800-600-5004. There's only 2 days left to get yours, so don't wait. And now here's Rick with a closing thought.
When you're faced with unpleasant people, you know the best thing to do? Just love them. Don't try to fix them. Okay? Don't try to fix them. Just love them. And let God do the work of changing their heart. If you're not God, trust him to change them. And then watch for how he helps you grow spiritually in the meantime. Thanks for listening today. And join me again next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope.
This program is sponsored by Daily Hope Ministries and your generous financial support.